podcast. But if you are not a new listener and you did hear the first episode of the show, I truly hope that you enjoyed it. And because there might be some listeners, maybe even a lot of listeners, who followed me here from the Forgotten News podcast, I think I will start with a quick description of this show for any newcomers. This is a podcast in which you will hear whispered stories of true crime, unsolved disappearances, weird mysteries, wild adventures, spooky things, funny things, and also stories that listeners ask me to tell. And maybe sometimes things that I just say from off the top of my head. But everything that I say will be spoken entirely in whisper, and every word will be true. Also, I have one more thing that I'm going to say in regard to this show. I mentioned this on the first episode, but I'm going to reiterate because, well, I think it's important. I am very aware that there are some people who do not like having true crime or mystery stories being told in whisper format. And if you happen to be one of those people, then I strongly suggest that you should probably stop listening now. Maybe look for a different podcast altogether. I am simply giving you a warning up front because I definitely prefer not to see any messages, emails, or reviews on iTunes that say negative things like that in regard to the format. This is a podcast that is entirely for people who enjoy hearing stories of mystery, true crime, and other topics from real life, told in whisper. And for many people, it makes the story much more interesting to hear, almost like being told a secret by a friend, or a bedtime story by a loved one. In addition, listening to a whispered mystery or a true crime story at night has often been found to be relaxing or even comforting for people who have difficulty in falling asleep. Finally, although I will be speaking entirely in whisper on this podcast, the volume level is up to you, the listener. So, if you think that my voice is too loud or too quiet, simply increase or decrease the volume on your device, whether it is a phone, a PC, a laptop, an MP3 player, or anything else that you're using to listen to this show. But if you would prefer, I would be happy to send you an email with an MP3 copy of any episode with alternate volume levels, either quieter or louder, which you can then download. But unfortunately, due to the amount of time and extra work that is involved, I'm going to need to ask for a small contribution, only $1, either through PayPal or any other secure payment method that you prefer. So simply send an email to me and we can work it out. I will give you my email address right after the featured story. Now, 6 different wounds in combat with the enemy. In the year 1865, Chamberlain had risen to the rank of Brevet Brigadier General and was mustered out of the army later that same year when the war finally ended. Yet, despite all of these many achievements, Chamberlain would later refer to the meeting at the Massachusetts State House as, quote, "one of the most remarkable experiences of my life," unquote. A petition for pardon had been submitted by friends of a prisoner. This inmate was Michael O'Donnell, who had been sentenced for the murder of a young girl. He had served 10 years thus far. The governor asked the warden to bring O'Donnell inside from the hallway, where he had been told to wait. Mr. Haynes, who was a member of the governor's cabinet, later described the events which then took place, and this is what he said. "We saw Michael O'Donnell in the morning for a minute or two, and that brief interview has haunted me." Warden Chamberlain had told Mr. O'Donnell to come into the room. Then, shortly after that, a tall man walked in wearing a prison uniform. But his appearance and manner were so strange that for a few minutes, none of us were able to speak. We just sat and looked at the man in amazement. His hair was perfectly white and soft, but there was a fixed expression on his face that was simply terrifying. He had a face that looked almost paralyzed, like a man who was permanently trapped in a nightmare from hell. He walked like an automaton. We put a few questions to him, and he simply answered yes or no. He never flickered even a single muscle. The sight became so painful that we sent him away. We then asked the warden about him, and he then told us his story. Michael O'Donnell had been a very poor man from Ireland who had moved to this country and prospered. He had lived in a town nearby and had a small piece of land in which he grew and raised vegetables. But they were often stolen while he slept. One night, he heard someone in the garden. He assumed it was someone trying to steal from him again, so he went out and stood on his doorstep. It was a dark night, and he could see nothing at all. He decided to randomly fire a shot from his gun, which he then did in the hopes that the loud noise would scare the thieves away. So, he then went back into the house and went to bed. The next morning, the dead body of a small girl, only 15 years of age, was found laying in the garden. She had been killed by the shot that O'Donnell had fired. The shot that he had thought he was firing at nothing except the night air. The body of the girl had been discovered by a police officer who happened to be walking down the street and glanced in the direction of the garden. O'Donnell was immediately arrested. However, from that moment of his arrest, he acted like a man from whom every emotion and every feeling had evaporated. A permanently vacant expression came into his face. He was put on trial, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison. During the week of his hair turned white. He was taken to the prison, and for 10 years, his manner had been unchanged. He does the work that he is told to do, but almost as if he were a machine. He obeys the prison regulations, but he never speaks except to answer yes or no. He is known by the prisoners and the guards as the dumb man. The petition for his pardon did not come from him. He did not even know about it until the warden brought him to us. And even when we informed him that his chance for a pardon was good, his manner did not change, nor did the emptiness of his eyes and face. Evidently, during the trial, the prosecution had convinced the jury that O'Donnell had saw the girl and knew who she was. Then, maliciously, hatefully, shot her. But during the month prior to the hearing at the state house, it had been learned that this allegation was not true, and that Michael O'Donnell, in fact, did not know the girl and did not know that she was there. Hence, he had not acted with malice. The recent revelation of these facts had prompted the petition for pardon filed on his behalf. It was discovered that, on the night of the incident, what had actually happened was a very strange chain of events. It was Halloween night, and at that time, there was a belief, a superstition, which had for many years been widespread among girls in Massachusetts, that if a virgin walks through a graveyard, then steals a cabbage and places it above the front door to her house on Halloween night, then the first unmarried man who walks through that door is destined your husband. Now, listeners, I'm going to interrupt the story for a moment just to say a little something at this point. Although it is easy to think of this quote unquote belief as silly or ridiculous, but here is the thing that you need to know before you immediately jump to any conclusions. It is only natural to believe in the supernatural. It is unnatural to believe only in the natural. Okay, listeners, is that reasonable? Anyway, just keep that in mind. Now, story. It was nighttime. The girl had gone to the garden of Mr. O'Donnell to try to find a cabbage for her door. Earlier that day, one of her girlfriends had told her about the garden and that it had cabbages. So, in other words, the girl had never been there before. These facts contradicted the allegation that the fatal shot had been fired maliciously and intentionally. So, after careful consideration of the petition and the evidence, Mr. O'Donnell was granted a pardon by the governor. However, it was the very sad opinion of Warden Chamberlain that it was highly unlikely that Mr. O'Donnell would ever grant a pardon to himself. And that is the end of the terribly tragic story of Michael O'Donnell. dumb prisoner. So, listeners, what do you think about the case of Michael O'Donnell? A very weird story, wasn't it? Do you think that he should have been granted a pardon? One thing that I will mention in this context is that Halloween in the 19th century was very different than it is today. If you look at newspapers from anywhere in the U.S. throughout that time period, you will quickly learn that Halloween was a night for pranks and practical jokes, usually committed by children of all ages, but sometimes also by adults. This was just taken for granted in almost every city, town, and village as a thing to expect. The targets of these pranks were usually the houses or other property of neighbors. Most typically, someone who is considered to be mean, annoying, or a troublemaker. It was very rare for a nice person to be targeted. Unfortunately, these incidents of mischief would frequently get out of hand, and the police would be kept busy. The local custom mentioned in the featured story, by which a virgin girl could learn the identity of her future husband, definitely sounds like it might have been a female variation or twist of the widespread tradition of Halloween pranks, since it revolved around stealing a cabbage after trespassing through a cemetery at night on Halloween. It might be good to keep these facts in mind when thinking about the story of Michael O'Donnell. Does it change your opinion about the incident? By the way, the more recent tradition of trick-or-treating on Halloween did not begin until the early 1930s. It was a clever idea that seems to have begun in New Hampshire and quickly spread across the U.S. A simple way to minimize or eliminate Halloween pranks. A person who wished to avoid property damage, booby traps, or personal injury could do so by simply paying a small bribe in the form of a piece or two of candy to any child who came to your doorstep. So, anyway, if you didn't know that before, now you do. And that brings us nearly to the end of the episode. I just have a few very quick final things to say. First, if you have any thoughts about the featured story, you can email them to whisperedtruestories@gmail.com. But take care to type that as all one word. There are no hyphens, dashes, or underscores. And on a future episode, I will share the thoughts and comments that have been sent by listeners regarding the stories that have been featured on the podcast. But if you don't want your name used, will see. Finally, listeners, if you have any suggestions, including suggested cases or topics, please feel free to email them to whispertruestories@gmail.com. You can also make comments and follow the podcast on Twitter at the handle @whisperedtrue. Once again, type that as one word, @whisperedtrue. Also, if you would like to be sent an email with alternate volume levels, either quieter or louder, whether for this episode or any future episode, and that you can then download, just let me know. But unfortunately, I need to ask for a small donation. $1. Sorry about that. Due to the amount of time and extra work that is involved, payment can be made through PayPal or any other secure payment method that you prefer. So, just email me and we can work it out. And with all of that having been said, this episode has now reached the end. So, until next time, my name is Kit, and I will leave you now with this thought. If you look at a thing 999 times, you